Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jerry's Pearls. I am Cookie, and we have Aunt Jerry with us. How are you doing today?
Cookie, it's so good to be here with you today. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. Of course, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you. Continue to pick your brain and get to know Aunt Jerry. Today, we're going to talk about relationships with God.
Okay.
So what I'd like to know from the beginning, what was your relationship like with God? What did that look like for you?
Since I was raised in the time when Sunday was church day, so I remember as a child going to church with my grandmother. And I remember we were in church all day, and I remember putting my head in my grandmother's lap to go to sleep because I was worn out. And between services, because you were in church all day, we always took a basket and we would go down. Mm. If it was nice during the summer, we'd eat outside, but down in the basement, everybody spread the table and everybody just eat. Then you go back upstairs for the next service.
Mm-hmm.
So I was raised in the church, and my grandmother was devoutly religious, and you could hear her when she's cooking. She was praying the whole time.
Oh,
she's cooking. And so, who is this Jesus that you're talking to and talking about? And of course, mm-hmm. she taught me and my cousin who lived with us at the time to pray and say your nighttime prayers. And you never don't pick up a fork or a spoon without blessing the food.
I know that's right.
And then after my grandmother passed and I went to live with my mom and dad, my mother was devoutly religious. Mama prayed about everything all the time. And she taught us to pray. And as you go through life and different things happen, because I've had some rough times in my life like everyone has, and you start looking and longing for, how do I handle this? I never wanted to end my life, but life was really hard in mm-hmm. some seasons of my life. Mm-hmm. And you have to find an anchor. You have to find something to hold on to. And tapping back into faith that I'd been exposed to as a child and watching in my grandmother, my mother's life and how they navigated and how I would see my mother praying with tears streaming down her face, but she's still praising God and calling mm-hmm. on the name of the Lord. So I wanted that, you mm-hmm. know, for myself. And so to find and seek a relationship with him was very gratifying and life-changing for me.
Okay.
And one of the best decisions I ever made.
So you'd say that church is how you went about building that relationship and just seeing the strong women around you?
Yes. And also because the messages that were preached were basically doom and gloom when I was coming. Mm-hmm. If you wasn't a straight up do every one of the Ten Commandments every day, all day long, and twice on Sundays, you were going to hell. Just period. You were going to hell. That's just how it was. And then reading. I'm an avid reader, and reading books on relationship with God and prayer and building your faith and testimonies and watching and seeing, knowing people's circumstances and seeing things miraculously turn around. It had to be something bigger than us. There is a great I am. There's no way we could have figured it out. Okay. Or we would have.
Yeah, church today is definitely different than church back in the day. I can say for myself, like the Bible, the King James Version for me is a little bit difficult to read. I'm appreciative of the different translations. We started out in a church where we were in service for a good portion of the day from the morning, it seemed like all the way to the evening time. Mm-hmm. That was Pentecostal. And navigating to church now, like at GWC, the word is so clear, but then it's also been a struggle for me personally, trying to make sure that I'm able to see and understand what God is saying. How do you know that you're hearing from God? How do you know that he's speaking directly to you?
God has spoken to me in a number of ways. And one of the things that really used to, when I was very young in my faith, it was unsettling, but now it's very reassuring, is that I would come into a situation and the deja vu, it's like I had been there. It's like everything that's happening, I had seen it. I had heard the people were wearing the same clothes. They were saying the same words. And I'm thinking, what is this? But I knew it had to be God because everything was so precise. Everything it was like just an overlay of everything that I'd seen in the spirit is now manifesting in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's just a small, quiet voice. And sometimes it's what my mom used to call an unction, which I now know is the Holy Spirit. And Mama used to always say, follow your first mind, you have less trouble in life. Mm-hmm. And I have come to know that first mind is the Holy Spirit. And I declare to you, every time I have not done that, I've been in a jackpot. So I'm learning submission for me, because I'm one of those analytical kind of people, and I want to debate God, and like, God don't need no debates. And it's, God, was that really you? Was that not you? Did I hear you? Was that the devil? Is it me talking to myself? But he speaks in all kinds of ways. He can speak in a song. He can speak in, like, someone can walk up to you and just say something. You've been praying about something, and that person will say something so precise to what you were praying about. It is unnerving. And one of the situations I've shared before, and how God speaks, because I always think I'm just his favorite child, and I think we all should feel that way. And I was at a military conference once with a friend, and I made the statement, God loves me so much, he'll change the whole system just to bless me. Mm. And we went on a break. At that time, I was a master sergeant in the military, in the Air Force Reserve, and was the top rank for that position in my unit. We went on a break. And we came back, and the first thing the facilitator said, oh, I forgot to mention, for every reserve unit over 200 people, the first sergeant's position has now been elevated to a senior master sergeant.
Okay.
Now, I couldn't even look at my friend that I had just said that to, because she and I would have broke out in a shout, and they'd have turned her, they'd have put us out of the out of the session. But when we went on the next break, we shouted in the hallway, and I'm so glad she was there, and we've shared that story several times over the years since it happened. And to me, that was God speaking directly to me. That's how I took it. So I think, but it came too from spending time in prayer and spending time in the Word. Your family's voice is very familiar because you talk to them. And we can't know God's voice if we don't talk to him. So I think that prayer and meditation and words, and sometimes I'll just, and I'm on the road a lot. I do a lot of driving. And a lot of times I'll just turn everything off in the car and just say, talk to me. And sometimes I'll just sit and say, God, I don't know what to do about this. Just tell me what to do. And before I get out of bed in the morning, I try and ask God to order my steps and tell me what it is that he wants me to do that day. I don't want to move in obedience. I want to do what he says. But I think it's personal. It depends on your relationship with God, I believe, how he talks to you and how you spend time with him. Because his words, his sheep know his voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So you have to know now, for yourself.
I got to be honest and say that this is something that I've been struggling with. It's not until here recently that I feel like the things that have been happening, not everything, but just certain things that have been happening, that I feel like he's lined that up for me, or is keeping me from something. So I've always felt that I've had favor, but I've always had a praying mother. I've had, my aunt is a pastor as well, and her connection with God is unreal. I got to be honest and say as well that I desire to have the type of relationship to be able to pray and see the product of my prayers answered, but I can't say that I've actually saw that happen. In a sense of how my aunt is, or how my mom was.
And I think you have to understand that for me, I can speak for myself, is that I know that I have had answered prayers that I didn't see as answers because I had a vision of how the answer would look. And we tend to box God in sometimes and how we expect him to answer the prayer and what we expect it to look like. I know I have. And when it came a different way, even though the prayer was answered, I was like, God, did you really hear me? But you don't connect that the answer is the answer because it didn't look like you thought it would look. It's still the answer. So I think it's all a part of building that deeper relationship with him and having the comfort. And the other thing I've had to learn is it's all about God's timing. If it's a blessing that's released before we're ready for it, we can mishandle it and we don't get the full benefit of what it is that God wants us to have. So if you're not in the right place and space mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sometimes even chronologically in age, and sometimes younger people can have more wisdom than older people. Your chronological age doesn't mean that you're wise. It's how you hear from God and how you move once you hear from him. And don't do the debate thing like me. Just take God at his word. And Most often you can know your prayer is answered when the answer lines up with the word of God. He's not going to answer anything that's not doesn't line up with his word.
I think the toughest time that I've had was when I lost my mom. I didn't understand it. Just couldn't. I went down a very dark road, very dark path. Someone else told me that I was angry with God. I didn't feel like I was angry with God. I just didn't understand. So I asked you, was there a time that you felt like you were angry with God?
Oh, yes. You really? Oh, please. The transition this past year, moving from Maryland to South Carolina, God and I had some conversations, and I was mad at God, and I was like, what are we doing here? But more than that, I felt distressed that I had missed God, that I hadn't heard from God, that I had moved of my own volition, that I had just made this decision after 50 plus years living in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area that I was just going to uproot and relocate. I only knew two people here in this area, my niece and her daughter. And I'm thinking, wow. Really, God? Now I've built relationships. I've been serving in a church, serving in my community. Had a successful federal and military career. And in prayer one day, God says, you need to relocate. And I'm like, really? I'm good. You know what? Yep, I'm good, God. Why I need to go anywhere? And because there were some other things going on in the family that were very challenging and very stressful, and I felt like I was being dumped on. And how can a God that loves you dump on you? Because I'm trying to sell a home in Maryland, help my family with the situation that was going on, build a home here in South Carolina. And it was so hard that I just cried out, and I cried so many days, Lord, what is going on here? And I came to know, because once I stopped being angry with God, I said, okay, God, whatever it is you want me to do. But the blessing, the pivot for me, and I'm so grateful, was coming to Greater Works Outreach Center and meeting, you know, Pastor Jay and the congregation. I never felt like a visitor from the very first day that I walked in.
But they give you that.
As I came and worshiped, and it really changed when I became a member last August when I joined the ministry. It's like everything settled. And God said, now, do you see why? Do you understand? And I had to repent for all the times I'd been up in God's face. I knew more than he knew. And like he had left me, I felt alone. I felt like God wasn't hearing me. But the thing that hurt more than that, I felt like I'd missed God, because I never wanted to move outside of what I feel like he has for my life, the plan that he has for my life. But I'm so grateful that he's the kind of God that you can be angry, you can be in his face, you can say all kinds of stuff, and he loves me just the way I am, as imperfect and untrusting. And my prayer so many days was, Lord, help my unbelief. And I've walked with God so many years of my life, but at that moment it was like, God, do I know you? Do I have a relationship? What is going on here? It's supposed to be this hard. How am I going to build a house and trying to help my family? My house is sitting empty for 4 months. How is that making sense, God? I'm paying a mortgage and I'm not even in the house. But it all makes sense now. It's all falling into place, and I am so grateful. And the lesson is, you have to trust God when you can't trace him. You just have to trust him.
That's deep. Very deep. I can't stop the tears.
Okay. You all right?
No. I'm trying. You can say whatever you're going to say.
Full.
Thank you.
Missing mama. Ain't nothing like missing mama. Oh my God. Don't get me started. Y'all just scoop me up off the floor. You are adrift. You just going with wherever that tide takes you. On a good day, a bad day, a up day, a down day. I remember the day after mom passed. She passed on June 14th, 2006. When I woke up on June 15th, I have never lived a day of my life without my mother. It was hard. And being the oldest sibling, everybody was looking to me to hold everybody together. And they didn't know I was hanging on by a thread myself. And It is. The life without mama is different. It really is different. But what I found is everything that she said and did crystallizes in a way that fills that empty place, that lets you not let go of the hope that life can be level again, that you don't have to be scattered forever, because you feel like you're never going to be able to pull yourself back together. Like, I'm broken in all these pieces, Lord, and the only person that can put those pieces back together is God. That's the only person that can put those pieces back together. So when people lose mothers, I tell them, I know exactly where you are, and you need to feel, if you want to wail, let's lay on the floor and wail. If you want to just sit here and I hold your hand and we'll empty out as many Kleenex boxes as we need to. And if you want to tell me the same thing 15 times in the next 15 minutes, I'm going to listen.
Aunt Jerry, my last question as we close this segment out is, how do you know that God is pleased with you?
I think for me, the way that that's been demonstrated in my life is the doors that have been opened and the opportunities. And oftentimes, I believe as we go through life, I've become more disciplined as I've gotten older and more mature in my walk with God. Is I only speak when the Holy Spirit says to speak, and I only speak what He says to speak. There was a time, just because I think I'm so articulate and I speak so well, that I would just rattle it off. And some stuff shouldn't have been rattled at all. But now, as I walk in this season of maturity and really being committed to the call and purpose of my life, which I believe is to be an encourager and to be a Titus 2 woman in this season of my life, I say things as I'm led and I keep it moving, as my niece used to say. But I believe what for me, how God shows me He's pleased, is that I'm seeing the harvest of some of those seeds. Okay. With people coming back and saying, when you said thus and so, it changed my life.
Well, let's see what the listeners have to ask Aunt Jerry today.
All right.
All right. So it says, Dear Aunt Jerry, like you, I love the Lord. I never miss my prayer or meditation time. I'm always reaching out for the presence of God. However, I love women. I love the way they move, look, and even smell. My love language is touch, and I need it in abundance. Because of the way I look and my financial status, I get a lot of attention from women at church. I have had relations with several of them. You know what relations is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I'm there.
As bad as it sounds, it's never been a problem. They all know about each other and have never said anything. Here's my problem. I know the call to preach is on my life, but I don't want to give up my relationships. Can God still use me despite my lifestyle? If what I'm doing is wrong, then why does God use me in such amazing ways? Signed, sinful yet sanctified.
Now, sinful yet sanctified. The first thing, if God's going to use you, we're going to have to throw off the lust of the flesh.
All right.
The thing that, now, God can use anybody to speak and to do what He wants to do. But how do you want that to be represented as an ambassador for Christ? As you stand up to break up on the word, it's going to be hard for me to tell the young women that they shouldn't be fornicating, or the young men they shouldn't be sleeping with every lady on the block, if I got the deacon in the back room and we waiting to have an encounter.
Oh.
As we count the morning offering.
Oh.
So how do we line that up? Are you really committed to the call on your life or the call of your flesh? Mm-hmm. You got to decide, because we can't do this double-minded thing, because the word says if you're double-minded, He's going to spew you out of His mouth. Mm-hmm. You can't, we straddling the fence here. Now, we got to drag one leg over. Either we're going to hang out with all the sisters, or we're going to bring that leg over here into the church and get really sanctified. I just don't see how we can, now, I'm like I said earlier, God can use you. God, when he has used so many people that we would call sinners to be tremendous blessings in the kingdom. But when you're talking about a walk and you're standing up as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher, anybody in the fivefold ministry, apostle, evangelist, anybody in that ministry, prophet, you, what comes out of your mouth has to be filtered through the Holy Ghost, because people are taking what you say to walk out their lives. It's a blueprint. This is how God expects you to walk through this life. Okay. So I just don't think the brother, I think he's going to have to clean up things. It's a him and God thing. He's got to get with God, and he's got to give his whole heart, and he's got to submit to the call on his life. And I'm a little concerned about the sisters. I know we're talking about the brother, but if everybody's all right, knowing that y'all, we popping and pew popping up in the church, that's the problem for me. We can talk to him, but we need to talk to the sisters too, because how is that okay? With you, how are you right setting that in your heart that you, that's all you're worth, and what you the Monday girl, the Tuesday girl, the Wednesday girl, which day is your day to be the girl? And it's something that a podcast, we can't get through it in a podcast, you know, but it is something to be recognized, and it shouldn't be anything to want to model yourself after, anything you should want to do. If anything, you should break that mold and show that there are godly men who can walk upright before the Lord and be monogamous. And to me, it's just selfish. And you're just satisfying your flesh. And the women, they don't know their worth and their value. So they're taking what they feel is all they can get. And I think that they deserve so much more. But until they believe that, because I know I'm too old school. We ain't sharing no man. No, I'm so sorry. It ain't happening.
Is it old school?
I'm just telling you, I can only speak for Aunt Jerry.
Call me old school as well, then. Mm-mm. Call me Aunt Cookie, because I'm not sharing my man with nobody else. I'm sorry.
Not doing that. Not doing that.
Yeah, polygamy is I don't know where it came from. It seemed, I know it's probably been there all the time, but like just in these days and time, social media, being with multiple women in the same household, or listen, it ain't even multiple women. There are women out there that have multiple men.
Yes, living it in goes the same, both ways. Yeah, absolutely, it goes both ways. Just, but to me, it's the same lack of accountability to yourself and to you. If you say you're a person of faith, how is that representing your walk with Christ? How I can counsel anybody and say you got to be faithful to your husband? And I think we have the problem. One of the things that I pray about and the thing that grieves my heart is that we have fallen into calling wrong right. And I think that is something that we have to be accountable for as members and believers in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God. We have to, and I'll stand flat-footed, and you don't have to agree with me, but I'm going to say what thus saith the Lord. This is what the word says. Now, what you do with, that's a you and God thing. But I'm going to tell you, if he tells me to tell you, I'm telling you. And then how you work it out is between you and him.
Okay.
I think the first thing he would have to do, if he is serious about his call, is he is going to have to probably seeking some help first. Because when we try, so I know for me, when I try to do stuff on my own, I'm not equipped to do it. But you first got to be honest with yourself about where you are.
Mm.
You know, I will never question anyone's call, because that's between them and God. I will never do that. I hear what you say, but I watch more closely what you do. Does what you say you call to do line up with how you're living your life and walking out that call?
Actions, yes.
So I think getting some help, you got to get your flesh under control. And I talked in another session about timing. Is it God's timing yet for you? Are there still some things that God needs to purge in you that you need to surrender to God before you can really stand up in the call that you believe is on your life?
We're now going to go into our pearl of praise.
All right.
So who's popping today, Aunt Jerry?
Thank you, Cookie. Today, we're going to go into the book of 1 Samuel, and the 23rd and the 25th verses is where I'm going to hang out for a minute. And we're going to talk about a man named Nabal and his wife named Abigail. And we're going to talk about the strategy of wisdom. And during that time, Nabal was a very rich man. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was shearing season, which it was like a time of festival for them. And earlier in chapter 23, you could see that David and his men were still on the run from a murderous pursuit of Saul, trying to hunt him down and kill him. But also in the area where Nabal's shepherds and the flock were, the Philistines had been in that area, and they were doing a lot of raiding and taking sheep and killing folks. And so when David and his men came upon Nabal's shepherds, and during that time, they provided protection for them. They kept the Philistines at bay. They didn't try and take anything for themselves. And because Nabal normally wasn't in that area, but because the shearing season was festivals, he was there, because they were going to probably have a banquet or something when they finished. And so David, because he and his men had helped make sure everything was okay, he went to Nabal and said, since my guys helped you out, can you give us a little provisions to help us out? Nabal was insulted. Who is this David? I don't know you. So he was very rude and condescending and just said no. So when David's men went back and talked to her, David said, I got something for you. We're going to kill every man in the village. We're killing them all. If he can insult me, and all I've tried to do was help him, we're killing everybody. His young man went back and told Abigail. Abigail, sister must have been waiting on it, because she was ready at a moment's notice. Abigail has her servants prepare everything that you could imagine. They slaughtering sheep and whatever and preparing food. And she rides out to meet David before he can come into the village. And when she gets to him, she gets off of her donkey and gets down and lays before him to show that she understands who he is and the importance of who he is. And she says, she admits that Nabal was foolish. So she appealed to who David was in the kingdom. So her having the wisdom to go out and intervene and diffuse the foolishness from Nabal saved her whole village. And so how many times has someone been sent into our lives that had the strategy of wisdom, and we don't know how they saved us from something that the enemy was trying to do to trip us up? So you might want to listen when somebody comes and tells you they have something they want to share with you that's going to help make you better. All right? Thank you so much for joining us today, and I look forward to our next cast.